a microphony
and a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You think I'm some dummy off the street? Yeah, my era is everything. No, I cover all eras. My nickname, Mr. Era.
Jeff Lutz.
I've been around for 34 years. Longer than most people.
34 years to me is, that happened yesterday. Not in your lifetime.
There's no alternate history where that could have been achieved.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Woo-hoo! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We're with you for the next couple of hours. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power in the studio, producing and engineering. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. We are at the trade deadline, 3 hours until we call it quits in the Major League trade wars. Your team made a move yesterday, getting Lane Thomas.
Yeah.
My team made a move yesterday, getting Tommy Pham and Eric Fetty. We expect more moves today in St. Louis. Looks like Dylan Carlson is creating a little bit of a bidding war, surprisingly.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand it. Makes no sense, but if you pull off a heist for, like, saw Dylan Floro, is that his name, from Washington, if you get him for a nothing, then you've got to feel pretty good about yourself.
Well, Dylan Carlson's one of those guys that, you know, I would not be shocked if he goes somewhere and becomes a pretty good major league player.
I would.
I don't think he'll be an all-star, but I think he could go somewhere, hit 240, 250, 15 homers, steal 20 bases. I don't think that's out of the realm.
All right, I guess. I mean, he's, for the last 3 years, he has not shown any capability of being able to do that. And I don't
think confidence is a, remember when you went to Ohio riding a wave? You just had a great summer. Here in Kansas.
What are you talking about?
You went to Ohio and you just couldn't hit a, you couldn't hit the ocean.
I had a great summer, not a year before?
You had a great summer the year after your sophomore year at North.
Yeah, I sure did.
And then you went to Ohio for your junior year and you couldn't throw it in the ocean.
I hit fine at toward the second half of the season.
You might as well have taken a bamboo splint up there.
Well, it wasn't all my fault. The guy didn't know how to coach me and it is what it is.
You know what? You don't need to depend on guys to coach you. You make it happen yourself. You think anybody ever worried about coaching me when I was playing?
No, they didn't. They knew you had no future.
Here's what they knew. He'll handle it.
Really?
He'll go out and I don't need to coach him. He coaches himself.
So if I take a strike and I get yelled at, that should do wonders for my confidence?
Sure.
It should? If I get screamed at in the dugout for losing a ball in the sun, that should do wonders
that
for my
confidence. To you?
Of course.
Yeah, good for him. Let's get him on the show. We'll talk about
it. Not just yelled at, cussed at.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what'd you say back?
Nothing. He benched me.
I've told
this story before, and then I was playing left that day, and then it was a doubleheader. In the second game, I was benched again, but the left fielder lost a ball in the sun, and then he put me back in.
It sounds like a moron. But anyway, here we are. We'll keep track of the deadline moves. Watching the Guardians, they have a 2-0 lead over Detroit, so Jeff's pretty happy right now.
They'll just hold the lead. We'll be fine.
Last night, now listen, the Royals are playing the worst team in the big leagues, one of the worst teams in the history of the big leagues.
They might end up being the worst team in the history.
They may very well. What Bobby Witt's doing, he's 13 for 16 in his right now. Game-winning.
Well, it's not just that. It's
game-winning grand slam. Steals bases, made an incredible play in the hole last night. Hitting over 340. Is he the best player in the game today?
He's in the top handful of players. I think Aaron Judge and Shohei are still right there. And then you start talking about Bobby Witt. So he's no worse than third, I would say.
But Shohei's a DH right now.
Well, he's got a pitch.
Of course, I get that. And Aaron Judge is fantastic. He's already got almost 100 RBIs. What's it, 99?
Yeah.
We're not even to August. It's ridiculous. But for the overall game and the position he plays, and Aaron Judge has played a lot of center field this year.
Right, that's a pretty premium position.
We didn't expect this guy to be arguably the best player in baseball right now, did we?
Did we not? I mean,
I don't know. Did we?
There's a lot of signs that he could be. He's got unbelievable speed. He's got an unbelievable arm. He's got power. He's got the hit tool. I don't know how many guys you look at with the skills that he possesses, and then later you say you're surprised that he's become as good as he has. He's been taking the incremental steps. He was not very good, and then he was good, and then he was really good, and now he's great. It's kind of how it goes down sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, and here he is. He just turned 24 in June. He signed for a million years. The Royals have him through when? 2031 is when he's a free agent. He's currently batting.
Thought it was longer than that. I thought they signed it for like 12 years.
347 was a 988 OPS, a 391 on base percentage. I guess if you wanted to pick at anything, and he does have 19 homers, but he doesn't have 30 homers.
But he will.
Well, he did last year. He had 30 last year. I guess you could, if you wanted to point out one thing, you might say, well, he's not amongst the league leaders in home runs, but he's amongst the league leaders in total bases.
Yeah, he's got a lot of doubles.
Because he has 30 doubles and 10 homer and 10 triples.
Yeah, not many guys go double digits across the board, much less 30 doubles and 30 homers potentially and 10 triples. So I don't think there's anything you can really poke at. I don't, 19 homers? Not really. I wouldn't.
19 homers is great. He's probably going to hit 30. I mean, you can't, like I said, that's definitely nitpicking.
I don't think there's anything to nitpick at. If a guy's having the year that he is and really no holes in his game, then no need to nitpick.
I want to get back to Bobby Witt in a minute, but we just had the mailman visit. And every time a dog sees the mailman, they go nuts. That's what Misty. Why? Why don't they ever get used to the mailman?
I don't know that it's not being used to the mailman. She's used to me coming over, but she still goes crazy when I get here. I don't think it's anything that's taken by surprise. I think if the mailman were to stop in, Misty would love on
but can't,
him the way she loves on me. And there's
can't
your,
she get used to the mailman?
There's your first base hit for Lane Thomas as a member of the Cleveland Guardians.
I don't care about Lane Thomas.
You used to. You traded him for John Lester.
I honestly don't care about him.
Welcome to the Cleveland Guardians.
Who?
I was told Alex Cobb.
Well, who were you told by?
It happened, Scotty.
Well, are you happy about that?
Yeah, I didn't really send much over. I like Alex Cobb. He shut us down in the playoffs. That was 11 years ago. But
well, he's 70.
Alex Cobb was a guy who's coming back for the Giants.
Coming back?
And
how do you come back when you're his age?
He's been injured. And, yeah, the last 3 years, ERA's under 4. You'll take that.
Here's what Bobby Witt projects. And he plays every day, so he hadn't missed a game. He projects to hit 347 with 29 homers, 114 RBIs, 15 triples, 45 doubles, 224 hits, and 132 runs scored. That's quite simply one of the best seasons that anybody's had in Major League Baseball over the past 30 years.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm getting all kinds of...
Who cares about Alex
Cobb? It's not that.
You act like it's some game changer.
No, I'm not talking about Alex Cobb. I've been chasing Brett Phillips today, who former Royal, former Ray, former Brewer, pitched. He was not a pitcher in the big leagues, but we knew he had an incredibly strong arm. He pitched yesterday in the NBC World Series for a team out of Texas, and he was signed today by the Yankees.
He just missed a two-run home run by Jose Ramirez. Because you're so distracted by everything. What did you hear about Brett Phillips? Are we getting him or not?
No, but the guy said we could have our head coach.
We don't want him. I'll make those decisions. Those all go through me.
Do you want him?
No.
Why?
Well, they're only 1-2, and they're, why would I pick him?
You wouldn't. But unless, I think we should get him.
No.
Yeah, I want to know more about this team that got a major leaguer to come in and pitch for him.
Get him for $310. We'll spend a few minutes with him. Alex Cobb acquired 77-75 in his big league career. 3.85 career earned run average. I guess you plug him in and do
it's
what
a good
you
move.
Need. I guess you do what you plug him in.
Yeah, now you got a rotation of...
Well, are you pleased with your team?
Yes.
So this is all. This is...
I don't know if they're going to do anything else. They didn't trade anybody of consequence. Jacob Bresnahan, I don't even know much about him. I think he's a catcher.
Well, they traded some guys in the...
yeah, I'm not worried about
it. Lane Thomas deal.
Yeah, and it took a minute to digest that, but...
Well, that left-handed pitcher they traded sounds pretty...
They drafted... high ceiling guys this year, and they're only a year behind him. So I'm not worried about it. I hope Alex Clemmie goes to Washington and is fantastic in 3 or 4 years. Hope I like Jose Tena. I hope he does well.
Well, Washington's a team to watch, as I've said on this show many times, and I'll continue to say it. I'm putting my faith in the future of the Nationals. Okay. They have a better future than... I don't see the future for the Cardinals right now. I gotta see some things.
Well, they don't have one as of right now.
Jordan Walker, I thought. No, I don't see a future.
Keeping him down in AAA, I know he's been struggling, but keeping him down in AAA essentially all year is just malpractice, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see. I'm not going to defend the Cardinals on that one. Do I see a bright future for the Royals? To some degree, but, you know, they got guys, I don't know what the situation is with, they've got Bobby Witt locked up. As long as you have him in the middle.
They're going to need to develop some of their own pitching at some point. I think you're going to get by fine with Lugo, Reagans, Waka, et cetera, next year, maybe the year after. And Reagans will be good for a long time. But at some point for that franchise to have long-term success, it's got to...
Well, we'll see. They're having more success than your franchise.
They are? I wasn't aware that third place was better than first.
Well, I'm just going to say it. I like what they've done with their team.
Sure, there's no problem with liking what the Royals have done. I like what the Guards have done.
I went into last night's ball. By the way, Joe Buck, the best announcer of... Finish the sentence.
I don't know. The 20th century.
He and Chip Carey teamed up last night. And while Chip Carey's good, Joe Buck's about five times better.
How'd that sound for you?
Well, it's just remarkable. He's so good. I mean, he's a storyteller. He's like his dad. He's a storyteller who doesn't lose touch with the game. That's an art form.
It's unfortunate we've lost him to football.
It is. But you know what I mean about, even with the pitch clock now, which makes it harder to tell stories because the game's moving so quickly. But he tells stories. They had great video last night of both his dad, Jack Buck, and Chip Carey's grandfather, Harry Carey. Jack Buck and Harry Carey worked Cardinals games for a long time and back in the my formative years.
No doubt.
So it brought back a lot of memories. And you know how we Cardinals fans are. We like the nostalgia of the moment. We like to think back to the great years.
And that's what baseball is about. Baseball is about nostalgia. There's obviously a lot of interest in the present, but there's a lot of interest in the past.
And they just brought in their 1964 team. Think about that. That's 60 years ago. I think they had 7 guys back. Not Dal Maxville, who was on our show recently.
He wasn't there?
No. Not Julian Javier. It was more Ray Washburn was really the only frontline guy who was back. And he looked a million years old because he is a million years old.
Well, he's hanging in there. That's all that matters.
You know, I used to say this aging thing is really difficult. I've changed it.
What do you have now?
Being old is difficult. Okay. It's not aging anymore. Getting old is, that's a thing of the past. I am old.
You're not getting old anymore.
Does somebody dispute that? Is there anybody out there who believes that being 69 on the cusp of 70 is not old?
I don't know. When you're 10, you think 40 is old, or 30. When you're 30, you think 70. I don't know. It's a perspective that changes. We had Nick from Chicago yesterday, who you noticed didn't even acknowledge my presence.
No, I didn't notice that. Yeah. We were so caught up in talking to each other. And just, you know, it felt like a kind of a reunion, really.
Yeah, he didn't even acknowledge me. Like, I am the Roman Reigns of the show. I need to be acknowledged.
I didn't even notice because Nick and I are so close.
Yeah, he said age, you feel how you feel.
Right, but you know, you understand what I'm saying about how I didn't notice because Nick...
Yeah, you said it. I understood it.
Nick wanted to talk to me. And you were that third wheel, if you know what I mean. And I don't know why you get offended by that, frankly.
I'm not offended at all. I didn't know that I was coming off that way.
Well, kind of that way. I guess I got to watch gymnastics tonight, even though the Cardinals are on. They haven't watched it today. They'll show it again in prime time. Simone Biles, where does she rank amongst? You know, I watch these Olympic games and I get caught up in them, and it only happens every 4 years. And we watch.
Well, the answer, I don't know what you're going to ask me, but the answer is number one.
Here's what I'm going to ask you. Where is she in the pantheon of U.S. athletes?
U.S. Olympic athletes?
Athletes.
I don't know. It's very hard.
Is she top 10 all time?
Well, you have to decide that. She's the best to ever do gymnastics.
Name someone who's a slam dunk. Top 10 athlete of all time, United States athlete.
Muhammad Ali.
Ali, that's a slam dunk. Are we sure?
Pretty sure. I think Ali, Ruth? Jordan are your...
Ruth?
Yes. Are your 100% lead pipe locks.
Gretzky?
He's not a U.S. athlete.
Where's he from?
Canada.
Oh. Duda?
Maybe.
Who else?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Who else is a lock?
I don't know if there are any other locks. I think that's your... top three, and then you can go a lot of different directions with the next...
Simone Biles, right?
7. Well, it depends. It's how you value her sport, or how you've...
Is Michael Phelps there?
Probably the best to ever do swimming, although he has no world records anymore, I heard.
Yeah, but that changes. It's what you do in the moment, right?
I get it, but it's not like he's... 40 years past his time.
We're going to continue with this discussion.
We are?
And by the end of the show, we'll have a consensus top 10.
How do you have a consensus? It would have to
be... Because you and I will agree.
It would have to be unanimous.
We'll see if anybody wants to call in and contribute. But first, we've got an interview to get to. Frank Leo will join us after the break, manager of the Hayes Larks. And then after that, comedian Felipe Esparza. Now, I don't know much about him, although when I looked him up today, I do remember him. He made a huge impact on Last Comic Standing.
He won the thing.
Back in the day. And he's joining us. He'll be in Wichita soon. We'll tell you all about that. Back in a minute, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Frank Leo joins us, the skipper manager of the Hayes Larks. They are once again in Wichita participating in the National Baseball Congress World Series at X Stadium. They play later today at 6 o'clock against Lone Star out of Texas. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Bob. Pleasure to be catching up with you again.
When was your first appearance in Wichita at the NBC World Series?
Well, I believe maybe 1982, 83. Goes back
so
a few years.
So you precede that music from the summer of 84. That's amazing.
You're making me feel comfortable.
Well, so do I, trust me. So tell us about your team. You're 2-0 in pool play. So is Lone Star. Looks like it should be a pretty good ball game tonight out at X Stadium. How do you feel about your squad?
It's a good squad. They really, you know, one of those things you always wonder when you put a club together and don't have a whole lot of time together is how quickly they'll come together as a group. And this group did that very early on, and, you know, been watching each other's back and playing the Wii game, no eye game, and it's been a fun bunch. You know, we're getting the most out of our talent, and they've been playing well down here the stretch.
How balanced is this team compared to some of your others? Just looking at stats, I don't know how much meaning can be drawn from just looking, but a lot of guys hitting over 300 and a lot of guys who've pitched quite a few innings. So you have, it seems like, a pretty good offense and a pretty good pitching staff. Is that pretty fair to say?
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head. We're not really a power club. We're a contact club. Can run a little bit, pitch a little bit, and play very good defense. So, you know, those characteristics will keep you in a ball game, give you a good chance to win. You know, there's no true secret to winning a game outside of keeping yourself in a position late in a game, and an all-ball club does a good job of doing that.
Frank Leo, our guest, he is the manager of the Hayes Larks. So we've seen the Hutch Monarchs lose a couple games. They're 1-2 in their pool. Are they advancing, Jeff? Do you know that?
They should be at 1-2 unless there's not a winless team in there.
Okay. What do you think of this format of the NBC? It's pretty interesting. You get to play pool play, and then you go into a single elimination bracket.
Yeah, you know, it's short and it's compact. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of time to recover if you get yourself in a rut. Understanding the finances in nowadays world, it's hard to get back to that big feel that was used to be here, which that tournament was a grind when it was over two full weeks and 40-some teams, double elimination. But, you know, I like the format. Gives you a day to catch your breath. I think moving it up a week definitely, you know, is a burden on getting your summer schedule done, but it is a relief for players. You know, now they'll be done by August 3rd if they're playing in a championship and get a chance to go home. You know, when my players get to town, I always thank them for, going out and playing in the summer. You know, and they haven't been home forever, maybe get home for a couple days, some of them, before they come out for the summer. So it's a tribute to those guys wanting to come out and compete.
How much have you had to kind of change your coaching and managing philosophies over the years? And I say that, and you mentioned, you know, pitching and contact hitting. Those are things that will probably never go out of style. So has that kind of been the thing for you over your time as manager of the Larks, or have you changed? And what is different maybe just about today's player?
Pitching is definitely the answer, no matter what level you're at, what part of the summer you're at with your team. You got to have pitching. You got to have pitching depth. And the second facet is play defense. You play defense and you pitch it, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. So, you know, when putting a club together, you look at those factors. Yes, you need to have some offense too. And so that's kind of the third factor that comes into play. I don't think power is the thing you look for. I think it's looking for guys. How often are they striking out? Are they getting on base? I look a lot at on-base percentage. of players, and you know, somewhat on batting average, more or less, are they putting the ball in play and not striking out? You know, as far as you know, the recruiting process and what's going on, how things have changed with players, it's all about the pitching, the number of innings guys throw during the course of the spring. Bob, to be honest with you, it's getting tougher and tougher every year to put a good pitching staff together, a depth pitching staff, where you have quality guys up and down. Coaches, and there's also the portal that's coming into play. Coaches are getting hesitant to send pitchers out, even to send position players out. Number one with the pitchers is innings. I mean, and it's not a great amount. I mean, they get up to around 50 innings in the spring, and you start wondering if a guy you recruited is going to come out. And you know, years ago when I first started this, you could recruit a weekend guy, and he was going to come. Now, you know, the weekend guys aren't going out. They're staying on campus. And you know, my big thing, Bob, with some of these pitchers that need to work, 50 innings isn't much. Staying on campus and throwing bullpens, getting stronger, it's all well and good, but you can do that in the summertime and pitch at the same time and find out about yourself. No substitute for being between the white lines, game on the line, and you're on the mound, and see if you can get a guy out. That's the old school in me, and that part of the game has really changed as far as, you know, what kind of arms you are getting out anymore.
Yeah, for sure. The TLC we're showing pitchers now may be a little excessive. Talking with Frank Leo, the manager of the Hayes Larks, they are 2-0 in pool play. They play Lone Star Baseball Club out of Texas tonight, also 2-0. Both teams are going to make it into bracket play. So how do you approach this game tonight with your pitching? I would imagine that if this game had more on the line, it might be different.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, Bob. And Lone Star is a very good club. We've played them before. They always have good arms coming in that they bring in with them. We've battled them and had some great games against them. And you know, we'll see a formidable arm tonight. But the catch-22 is, Bob, if you win, you're off tomorrow. If you go all out to try to win and you don't, you use up a lot of arms, you got to play tomorrow. Day off isn't that big if you have all the pitching depth you want and your pitching lines up. You know, there's teams that finished yesterday that are going to have 2 days off before bracket play starts. So it's kind of a catch-22. We'll kind of, you know, go at the game, you know, like we do every game, gonna try to win it. You got to just watch when you get close to the end. You win at all costs, and you're going to have to gamble a little bit. The game's on the line. You know, you got to go after it. You can't back off. And if you don't get that dub, then you're really going to have to roll up the sleeves tomorrow. You'll have to play 4 days in a row and try to get to a championship game that way.
So, Frank, I am by no means trying to push you out, but have you thought about what the Larks look like after you, whenever that might be, decide to step aside, if you ever decide to step aside? You're obviously very synonymous with that organization. You are the Hayes Larks. Do you know what it'll look like, what the next person might do with that organization or how it will look?
Well, I appreciate the you know, the compliments. You know, it's still going to be the Hayes Larks. You know, I put my heart and soul in it, but there's a good board there that will keep this thing going. The community loves the program, whether my name's on it or not. I don't know if that makes a big deal. I've been there a long time and tried to create something that will last in Hayes. That time is coming, Bob. And, you know, God willing.
Well, that was my son asking that question. And he's always asking when my time's going to be up. So don't worry about it, okay?
Yeah.
You sound alike.
I take it year by year. God willing, the health is good. And I've been blessed over the years to have some tremendous memories with this program. But, you know, yeah, the time's coming. I can't do this forever. You know, but before next season starts, I'll hit that big 7-5. But, you know, still feel like I'm going strong.
Well, you're amazing. You've had an incredible run with the Hayes Larks. Yesterday on the show, Frank, we were Talking nostalgia with the NBC World Series. I go back a long ways with it, even as a kid, back to the 1960s when I attended with my father, and then started covering it in 1976. So we each named our most legendary NBC franchises. So I want to ask you, which era of the NBC that you've been involved with, and you go back to the early 80s, was the best era in your opinion?
I'm going to say in the 90s, Bob. That tournament was a grind. You had teams from all over the country. You know, you were getting two teams out of Alaska. You were getting a lot of teams out of California, Texas, Illinois. It was a grind. You came in here, and, yeah, you may play and have a couple days off, but double elimination, game on the line just about every night out. There's no pool play where you have some wiggle room. You know, I'd say that the 90s were to me, were the formidable years. And, you know, I've got some great memories from the 90s, particularly 95 when Lance Berkman put us on his shoulders and we almost took down next year's USA Olympic team. So a lot of good memories from the 90s.
Yeah,
I think that was probably maybe the peak of the tournament.
That's one of the legendary tournaments that they've had is 1995, and you mentioned it. Team USA defeated the Hayes Larks in the championship game. Frank, we always love having you on. We appreciate your time and everything you've done for baseball, not only in Hayes, but really across the country. You've given a lot of people opportunities. Thank you for being on. Best of luck in the game tonight and the rest of the way in the tournament.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Always enjoy talking with you.
All right. Frank Leo from the Hayes Larks. Always, I enjoy that conversation every time we have it.
Yeah, baseball guys, it's nothing better.
We are awaiting Felipe Esparza. We expect him to call shortly, but he's restarting his comedy tour Thursday night in Australia.
It's a big deal.
What if he's in the air right now?
What if he's on the ground in Australia right now and it's very, very early in the morning?
Well, I don't know what we'll do.
I can't.
I'm not going to fret over it. Here he is. Felipe Esparza joins us. He's headed to Wichita in a few weeks. He'll be at the Scottish Rite Temple on Friday, August 23rd. You can get tickets at felipesworld.com. Felipe Esparza, our guest. Hello, Felipe.
Hello, man. What's up, everybody? What's up, fools?
Well, we're just amazed. I was looking at your schedule. And you'll be performing in a couple nights in Australia, so it leads me to ask, where are you now?
Well, now I'm at home in San Fernando Valley in California.
So when do you embark on this journey to Australia, and how long is it?
I leave tomorrow. I'm going to be there for 9 days. I'm performing in Sydney and Melbourne, Australia.
Good stuff.
How far does your work get, Felipe? Australia is pretty far. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to get your comedy out there these days. Where else might you perform someday?
I performed in Rotterdam, Holland. Rotterdam, Holland, Netherlands, in the Netherlands. I performed
That's quite a ways away, last December.
Yeah, that was a 11-hour flight from New York. And yeah. I had fans there. I had there were a lot of Dutch fans who were, I guess, Latino and different people from my podcast. People from Belgium took a train to my show, so I had like a decent crowd
Yeah, it's a very small world, but it has to be a little bit surprising when you step on a stage in Rotterdam and you get a bunch of people there. Who know you, right?
Yes, and they laugh different over there. Like, they laugh, but they don't, like, holler like you do over here in America. And if the jokes don't work, they just clap and, like, they give you a chance.
Felipe Esparza, our guest, again, he'll be here in Wichita on the 23rd, Friday, at the Scottish Rite Temple. So you won Last Comic Standing back in 2010. And
yes,
even I remember that. It really made waves. Just tell us about that experience and what you were doing before and how that all kind of changed your life.
Before Last Comic Standing, I was just a regular comedian performing 5 days a week at different comedy clubs in Hollywood, like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and the Ice House. And I was fortunate enough to be working more at the Laugh Factory because they had more rooms all over Southern California. So I didn't have a car, but everything was like convenience for me. I would catch a bus to go do a show at the 8 o'clock show at the Laugh Factory on Friday and then leave and then finish the 9 o'clock show in Long Beach on a train, come back on a train and a bus to be the last comedian up at the midnight show back in Hollywood. But I built a lot of fans along the way, you know, going up every day. Like I would go up sometimes 9 times a week in Southern California. So I built a big fan base before social media. Well, actually during social media is when people started noticing me. Then when I won Last Comic Standing, I won $250,000. And my son's mom the next day filed for child support. She became the last baby mama standing.
That's all it took.
I love that. Do you miss that show just being an avenue for comedians to make their name? I watched every episode, I think, probably, of every season. And you go back to season one, I think Gary Goldman was on. Todd Glass, who I absolutely love, was on that show. There were a lot of comedians that I really came to love on that show. So is it missed in the comedy world, or are there just so many other ways to get out there that maybe it's not as needed?
I think it's missed in the comedy world because I know podcasts are very popular, but some people still watch television, and they'll be glad to see a young comedian coming up. Also, it helps the comedians become better comedians because when I was on the show, you had to come up with 3 minutes every time you compete. So it made me a better writer. And you have to write everything verbatim. And not only that, NBC Studios had a lawyer for the advertisers, and he would read the jokes, and they would scratch off jokes that might be censored because of the advertisers. And wow. Then they'll finally get to you, and you got to erase like 5 jokes. Because I remember Roy Woods Jr., he had a joke about Wendy's, and he had to change it to fast food change. And I had a joke about Guitar Hero that I had to change to that game with the colors and the guitar.
Talking with Felipe Esparza coming to Wichita on Friday, August 23rd at the Scottish Rite Temple. So I'm always interested in somebody's story, and you've had your ups and downs in your life. And I'm just curious about the role comedy played, even when you were younger. Were you drawn to comedy as a kid? Who were some of your favorite comedians? And how much did you use comedy as a young person and even growing up as kind of a tool for you?
Well, my first time I heard comedy was we had a VCR. We were lucky to have a Samsung, a VCR. And someone loaned me a VHS tape with 7 HBO specials. Back then, a VHS, you could make it 7 hours if you break the little clip in the back. So I saw Howie Mandel's 1 hour special, Paul Rodriguez, Robin Williams, George Carlin. So many different, Sam Kinison, and then Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian Show, where I saw Seinfeld, Robert Townsend, Bobcat Goldthwait, and a bunch of different other comedians. So I grew up watching those. I watched the VHS for like 24 hours because we were at a sleepover and everybody fell asleep, and I ended up watching it over and over. I memorized all the jokes, and I would use them. And my teacher, like, if there was a funny situation, I would just throw in the joke I heard from Rodney Dangerfield.
Give us one you used from Rodney Dangerfield. I want to hear it.
Oh, man. I used it as a mama joke. I say, your mama's so dumb, she has to look in her bra to count to two. Because Rodney Dangerfield has a joke. I tell you, my wife ain't so bright. She has to look in her bra to count to two.
That's a really good impression, too.
That is a good impression.
Then he goes,
go ahead. Yes. No, he has another joke about, I caught my wife talking dirty. She was on the phone.
So, Felipe, are we in a golden era of Latin American comedians? Has that era already happened with Cheech and Chong and Paul Rodriguez? Is that era still to come? What do you think we're in as far as Latin American comedians? Because there's still a lot of funny ones. You among them, Steve Trevino, obviously Fluffy is there. What do you make of that?
I think a lot of Latino comedians are exploding on the social media end and are doing really well. And it's so nice to see them blowing up like that out of social media and actually using the tools that are available in this century, you know? Because back then when I wanted to do stand-up comedy, I had to go to a library and pick up a book and learn how to write. And a lot of these guys, they watch stand-up comedy and they learn it and they go up on stage, they get on these shows and they go viral and they're really funny, like Ralph Barbosa, Ken Flores, type people like that. So yeah, man, and they're also crossing over, you know, like not just Latinos go to their shows, even African Americans and Asians. At my shows, I get a lot of people who look like me, like Lebanese, Sikhs. I get people that are married to a Latina or married to a white guy. I get the crossover.
Felipe Esparza is our guest. Have you been to Wichita before? Have you performed here?
Man, long time ago, when I was opening up for Gabriel Iglesias, I went to the Looney Bin.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And it was over the river, you know. I learned a lot of stuff out there about the squinters.
Well, we missed the Looney Bin. It shut down a couple years ago.
Yeah, man. You didn't know that, man, but the owner of the Looney Bin, he told me this crazy story that he used to be a disco dancer in the 70s.
Really?
And he used to compete in actual big dance disco competitions. And he went up against the guy who taught John Travolta how to dance. Danny Terrell, I guess that's his name. And he said that guy ended up beating him, but that the guy that taught John Travolta asked him, hey, man, how did you get your shirt and your not to come out of your pants? Because every time everyone else did the splits, their shirt would come uncuffed, but your shirt stood in. And he goes, well, this is an old country hillbilly trick, he said it. And he sewed an elastic on his T-shirt connected to his pants. So every time that he did a split, the shirt would come back down. And he told me that that's what John Travolta used in the movie to keep his pants in. He never got credit. And he said, if you go to any Planet Hollywood, I bet you the Saturday Night Fever John Travolta pants has a suspender, a little elastic that they took from his idea. Crazy, right?
That's crazy. That's a Wichita story I never heard. Felipe, thank you for being on. You need to get some rest for this long flight to Australia. When's the last time you were over there?
Never. The closest down under I've been to is Mexico.
Well, this is a little farther. It'll be a great experience for you, I'm sure. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll see you here in Wichita in just a little over 3 weeks. Thank you so much.
And I will let you guys know if they actually have shrimps on the barbie over there.
Please do. Yes, call us.
We do want an update, for sure. Thank you, Felipe.
You know, also, we had tornadoes in Mexico growing up, man. One time our house flew and we landed in California.
Now, is that a reference because you're doing a show for a couple of Kansas guys?
Something like that. I remember that's an old joke I used to have that never worked in California. I figured I'd try it against them.
Do you want to hang out for hour number two? We'll be happy to have you. Hey, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure. Thank you, and best of luck on your tour.
Thank you very much for having me, man.
You bet.
Let's go Dodgers.
Felipe Esparza.
Yes.
Go Dodgers. Go Cardinals. Go Guardians.
You know,
we got it all
let me
covered.
Tell you a funny, before you go, let me tell you a funny story, man.
Yes.
I shook Reggie. I was in this breakfast spot in Seaside, California, by Monterey and Carmel, the wine country place. And Mr. October was sitting down, Reggie Jackson. And my friend reached over and said, Mr. Jackson, a big fan, big fan. And then I was nervous, you know, I'm nervous. And I'm a Generation X kid. So I said, man, Mr. Reggie Jackson, oh, my God, what an honor to meet you. When I was a little kid, my father and I, we saw Bob Welch strike you out in the World Series.
probably not a great line.
I know, I didn't know. I said the bad thing because my friend came over and said, but you came back and hit 3 home runs, Mr. Reggie. He goes, I know what I did. Tell your friend that. He had amnesia.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Felipe. Yeah, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Felipe Esparza, he'll be at the Scottish Rite Temple Friday, August 23rd, and I think you'll want to see him after that.
Got to.
Felipe'sWorld.com, FelipesWorld.com, if you want to get tickets. And that show will be fantastic.
By the way, the Guardians got better. The Royals acquired Paul DeJong.
Paul DeJong is not a bad guy to come off the bench. And my wife will be even more of a Royals fan now. She's not a big Royals fan, but we all like Paul DeJong. We're very loyal to our former Cardinals in the house. You know what I say? You know what I mean?
Not really. But
why?
There are a few of Guardians I still appreciate, but once they're gone...
Well, I mean, I don't hang on everything they do, but I... You know, I mean, I don't have any ill will toward Paul DeJong. Good luck to him.
Good luck,
I guess. Hope he cracks a few homers against you guys.
Well, I doubt it.
We'll be back. We've got an hour left. We've got a game coming up. It's the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.